Okay, so tonight the plan is to go through the second parak of Maseches Tamid. We're picking up on Chaf Ches Amud Beis, that's 28b. And the Mishnah there at the bottom of the page begins as follows. Re'u Echov Shiyarad. So the parak Aleph had described the Kohen who did the Trumas Hadeshen, the taking of, scooping up of ashes early in the morning, every morning in the Beis HaMikdash, scooping up of ashes from the top of the Mizbeach and then placing them in a designated spot on the floor of the Azar, the floor of the courtyard. Ra'u Echov Shiyarad, so his brethren, his fellow Kohanim saw that the person, the Kohen, did the Trumas Hadeshen came down from the top of the Mizbeach, Vahim Rav Simuvayim, that was their signal for them to start running in to start doing the rest of the work, to begin the rest of the avoda for the day. Miaru, they hastened, v'kidshu yudeim v'raglayim min ha-kiyur, and they sanctified their hands and their feet from the kiyur, that they washed their hands and feet. Notlus hamagrefos v'es ha-tzinoros, they picked up various vessels, shovels and forks, v'olu l'rosh ha-mizbeach, and they went up to the top of the altar. Ha'ivarim sh'avapidarim shalonis aklu mibo'erev, the limbs and the fats of the korbanos that had not been burned up overnight, sulkin osan al sidah mizbeach, they would push them aside to the sides of the mizbeach. Vim ein stadin machzikin, and if there wasn't enough room on the sides of the mizbeach, sodrin osam basovev al hakevesh, they would arrange them on the ledge that went around the middle part of the mizbeach, on top of the ramp. Right, so they would push them aside. They would find a place on the Mizbeach somewhere to put them. Hechelu malin bo'efer al gav tapuach. They would start pushing the ashes that had accumulated overnight on top of a mound. Tapuach over here does not mean an apple, it means a mound. And the Mishnah goes on to explain, tapuach hoyo be'emsa ha-mizbeach. There was a mound that was located in the middle of the Mizbeach. Just again, if we can remind everyone to put their phones on star 6 to mute their phones. Tapuach hoyo be'emsa ha-mizbeach. There was a mound in the center of the Mizbeach. Pa'omim shahayu alav kishlosh me'os kar. Sometimes there was such a buildup of ashes from the multitude of karbanos that there were around 300 kor of ashes on top of the Mizbeach. That's a huge amount of ashes, and we'll see that the Gemara is going to say that that's a little bit of an exaggerated number. Uvirigolim lo hayu medashlin also. On the Yom Tovim, they would not remove that mound of ashes from the Mizbeach. Mneishu hu noila Mizbeach, because it was actually considered to be an adornment for the Mizbeach, because it showed off how many korbanos were being brought. When it came time to take out the ashes, you know, again, to clean out this mound, the Kohanim were never derelict in taking out the ashes. In any case, going back to the everyday events, the Kohanim, after they swept up the top of the Mizbeach, the Kohanim would start bringing up logs to set up the pyre on the top of the Mizbeach. Again, those who were here for the Ramban Shir a little bit earlier this evening, we dedicated the Ramban Shir to talking about the Ma'aracha, or the multiple Ma'arachos, the multiple pyres that were on top of the Mizbeach. So they started setting up this Ma'aracha, this pyre on top of the Mizbeach. V'chi kol ha'etzem k'sherim l'ma'aracha? Is it the case that all different kinds of wood are acceptable for the pyre? Hein, yes, indeed it is. Kol ha'itzim k'sherim l'ma'aracha. All types of wood are acceptable for the pyre, chutz mishal gefen v'shal zayis, with the exception of the wood from the vine, from grapes, and the wood of an olive tree. And we'll see why in the Gemara. Avol be'elu hayru regilin. However, they were accustomed to using the following types of wood: b'murbios shel te'ena, with branches of fig trees; shel egos, of walnut trees; v'shel eitz shemen, or of an oil tree. Sidar esamaracha gedola mizracha, they would set up the large pyre. Again, in the Ramban Shir earlier, we talked about how there were at least two pyres, a larger one, a smaller one, maybe a third one as well. So they set up the larger one on which the korbanos were burned on the eastern side of the Mizbeach. V'chazisa mizracha, and there was a window, as it were, that faced east opened up within the pyre. In other words, they arranged the sticks in such a way so that there was an open area, like a window, on the eastern side of the pyre. V'roshe ha'gzirin ha'pnimi ha'nogim b'tapuach. The tops of the inner sticks of would touch this tapuach, this mound. V'revach hoya ben ha'gzirin. There was a space between the logs. Shoyu matzitzin eso aliso misham. They would light the chips from that area. Beiru misham atse te'ena yofim. They would pick out from the wood in the mizbeach fine pieces of wood from fig trees. Sider samarach hashniyah lektores. And then they would use those to set up the second pyre, which was used to take embers to burn the ktaris, the incense. Where would they set it up? Kineged ma'aravis dromis, and it was opposite the southwestern corner of the mizbeach. Mashuch min hakeren kelapei tzafa, and it was drawn towards the from the away from the corner towards the north. Arba amos, and four amos distance. Ba'omer chamesh se'in gecholim. Right, they put approximately enough wood that you could produce 5 se'in of coals for the to burn the incense. Uve Shabbos ba'omer shmona se'in gecholim. On Shabbos they would put almost twice as much wood, enough wood to produce not 5 se'in of coals but 8 se'in of coals. Sheshama yunos neshnei bazichei levonos shalechem aponim. Because in addition, and to using the coals of the second ma'aracha, the second pyre, to burn the incense, which they did on Shabbos the same way they did during the week, they would also take the spoonfuls of Lavona from the Lechem Aponim. Lavona was frankincense. They would take these 2 spoonfuls of Lavona and place them on top of that ma'aracha shnia, that second pyre as well. So there was more to burn, so they had to make sure that there was more wood in order to burn the pyre. Again, if I could just ask everybody to please just mute their phones by putting them on *6. Again, there's a little bit of background noise. If we could try to eliminate that, that would be good. Ha'ivarim v'apidarim shalonis aklumi bo'erev. Any limbs or fats from the korbanos that did not burn up overnight, machzirin osan l'ma'aracha, they would place them back on the first, the bigger pyre. Ve'tzisu shtei ma'arachos bo'esh, they would light both of the fires. So now both fires are burning on top of the mizbeach. Yardu ubo lohem lishkas hagozis, and the kohanim would then come down, and they would come into the lishkas hagozis, the chamber of hewn stone, which was the place where the Sanhedrin sat. We'll see the continuation of the Mishnayos next parak. We'll talk about what they did when they got to the lishkas hagozis. So this is again a description, essentially what's going on in this parak. These are all the Mishnayos of the parak. Is describing the setting up of the ma'arachos of the pyres on top of the mizbeach. The Gemara goes on to comment as follows: Amar Rava Guzma, says Rava, the description which we had in the Mishnah of the mound, the tapuach, sometimes being 300 kar, is a guzma, is an exaggeration. There was a lot of ash, but 300 kar is just that's over the top. Indeed, there are other examples where Chazal, and we'll see in the Tanakh itself, speak in an exaggerated lashon. So, for instance, we're going to learn later on in Maseches Tamid that Hishku es Tamid Bekol Shozov, that before the sheep was slaughtered for the Karban Tamid, they would give it to drink out of a golden cup. I will see why that is later on in the Mishnayos. But Amar Rava, Rava commented on that. Guzma, that's also an exaggeration. They maybe used a very nice cup, but to use a golden cup just to, you know, to give a drink to the sheep just before they're about to shecht it, that's exaggerated. So along those lines, Amar Rabami said, Dibra Torah Lashon Havoy, Dibra Nevi'im Lashon Havoy, Dibra Chachamim Lashon Havoy. The Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Chachamim sometimes use a language which is imprecise, and we'll see as follows, an exaggerated, imprecise kind of language. Dibra Torah Lashon Havoy, the Torah sometimes speaks in an exaggerated, imprecise language. Diksiv Arim Gadolos Uvetzuros Bashomayim, the Torah speaks of Klal Yisrael coming into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to encounter great cities that are fortified all the way to the heavens. Bashomayim Salkadaitich, you think the cities in Eretz Yisrael were fortified all the way up to the heavens, literally? Eleguzma, nah, it's an exaggeration, right? In other words, it's just exaggerated for effect. Similarly, Dibru Chachamim Lashon Havoy, Hodamaram, right? The Chachamim also sometimes spoke in an exaggerated way. That which we mentioned, Tapuach, the exaggerated description of how big the mound on the Mizbeach was, V'hishkus Atomi B'koshel Zav, the notion of giving a golden cup to the Karban Talmud before shechting it. Dibru Neviim B'Lashon Havoy, the Neviim also speak in sometimes in an exaggerated way. Diksiv V'chol Ha'am, it speaks about that when Shlomo HaMelech was coronated, the people were playing on flutes, and the sound was so intense that the earth trembled, the earth broke open from the sound of the flutes. Now that's an exaggeration. You play flutes, even if you play loudly, it doesn't cause the earth to open up. But again, it's an exaggerated way of speaking. Along those lines, Amr Abiyani bar Nachmeni, Amr Shmuel, Bishlosha Mekomos Dibur Chachamim B'Lashon Havai, there are three places where the Chachamim used an exaggerated way of expressing themselves. So Eluhain, these are they, Tapuach, in our Mishnah, where it talks about the mound, Gefen, we're going to see when the Mishnahis talk about the golden vine that was in the Beis Hamikdash, uParoches, and when the Chachamim speak about the Paroches that was in the Beis Hamikdash, again, both of these latter things are going to be explicated in just a few minutes. Lafuke midRava, and in this regard, Rabbi Yana bar Nachmeni disagreed with Rava. Disnan Hishkus Atam VeKoshel Zav Amar Rava Guzma. Rava before had said that it was an exaggerated statement when the Mishnah speaks about the Karban Talmid being given a drink from a golden cup. Right, Rav Yanai bar Nachmeni does not mention that as an example of an exaggeration. So Kamash Malon, he's teaching us that Hani in Hasim Lo, that no, indeed, only these three were exaggerated. The notion of the Karban Talmud drinking from a golden cup is actually not exaggeration. That's literal, because Ein Anias B'Makom Ashiras, indeed, when we have the opportunity in the Beis Hamikdash to do things in a regal fashion, we don't do them in a impoverished kind of fashion, you know? In other words, we go all out in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we go to explicate the three things that Rabbi Yanai bar Nachmeni spoke about. Tapuach HaDamaron, when he spoke about how the description of the tapuach, of the mound on the Mizbeach, was exaggerated, so we already learned about that. Gefen, when we speak about the vine, so it refers to the following. Titanyo, we learned in a Mishnah in Maseches Midos. Gefen Zav, Hoysal Medos Al Pesach HaHecho. There was a golden vine that was set up entering into the Hecho, to the sanctuary, the Beis HaMikdash, U'mudlo Gavi Klunsos. It was draped over poles. V'chod Mishim Isnadev Ole, anyone who donated a golden leaf, or gargir, or a grape, or eshkol, or a cluster, mevi v'toleba, he would come, and a kohen would hang it on that vine in front of the Beis HaMikdash itself. So, by the way, this is the source, l'chara, for that which many shuls used to have. We have it in our shul as well, you know, the tree of life, you know, where you can buy a golden leaf, a silver leaf as a donation. So they had something similar in the Beis HaMikdash. You wanted to donate, something, to make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. So it was put together in the form of a grapevine, and you would donate various parts to the vine, which would then, hang right in front of the Beis HaMikdash building. So what's the exaggeration? Amar Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadok, Maisa Hayav Nimnu Alesh Shlosh Meos Kohanim Lefnosa. It once happened that they needed 300 Kohanim in order to move it away from the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Heichal, to the Beis HaMikdash, and bring it somewhere else. Now says our Gemara, that's an exaggeration. It wasn't so heavy that they needed 300 Kohanim. It's a little bit of an exaggeration. What about Paroches? We also learned that there was something about the Paroches which was exaggerated. So we learn as follows. The Mishnah says in Shkolim, Disnan, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, Shum Reb Shimon, Haskan, Reb Shum Shimon Haskan, Paroches of your Tefach, Hoshivu Mishnayim Nimen Ne'ereges. The Paroches was a Tefach thick. It was woven with 72 different shafts. Yalkonima v'nima esrin v'arba chutin, and every thread contained 24 strands. Arka arboim ama, it was 40 ama long. V'rochva esrim ama and 20 ama wide. U'mishnonim v'shtayim ribo naases, and it was made from 820,000 gold dinarim. Ushtayim osim b'cholshana v'shana, they would make two parochos every year. They had to make a new parochos every year because the ktores would make it black. So they had to make a new one every year. So they made two new ones every year. Ushlosh meos kohanim adbilin oson. It took 300 kohanim to immerse it in the mikvah if it became tameh. That last point, says our Gemara, is an exaggeration. It was big, it was, you know, obviously not a one-man job, but it wasn't a 300-person job either. Okay, so those are examples of exaggeration that we have in the Mishnayos. We go back to discuss a point which we had raised before in the Mishnah. Right, that they used, the Mishnah had said that they used any types of wood in order to make these pyres on top of the Mizbeach, with the exception of olive wood, and with the exception of wood that came from a vine. Hani Maitaima, why were these excluded? Rapapa Amir Shum the Katri. Rapapa says they had knots. The wood had knots in them, and therefore they didn't really burn all that well. Ravacha Bar Yaakov Amir Shum Yishuv Deretz Yisrael. Ravacha Bar Yaakov says, because we wanted to encourage settlement in Eretz Yisrael, and if, you know, wine and oil were very, very important commodities in Eretz Yisrael, so if you're going to take the wood from vines and from oil trees and start using them from the Marocha, it's going to deplete the economy ultimately in Eretz Yisrael. We don't want to do that. Meisve, we ask a question against Rav Acha Bar Yaakov that the whole issue was Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Al ha'etzim asher al ha'esh, right? The pasuk says that they should place the parts of the carbon on the wood that's on the fire. So what does that mean? So etzim hanitochen lios esh. It means that the wood has to be wood that easily melts away and becomes fire. Umay niyu, right? What does that mean? It means that dukre shvud delo katri. The Ozli Mikter Mitocha. You have to use logs that don't have knots in them and that are not going to, you know, impede the burning of the wood because of the knots that are there. Isn't it the case that you can use any kind of wood for the Maracha? Hain. Indeed, all of the wood can be used, chutz min zayis v'gefen, except for the olive wood and the wood from the vine, again like we said in the Mishnah. Again, like our Mishnah, it says that they tended to use wood from fig trees, from walnut trees, and from oil trees. Rabbi Lezer Mosif, af shal mayish v'shal alon v'shal deka v'shal charuv v'shal shikma. Right, Rebbe Lezer also adds a number of different types of woods which you cannot use for the pyre. Mayish, alon, palm tree, a carob tree, and a sycamore tree. So bishlam, so that's the brisa. So now the Gemara is the following kasha and Rebbe Acha Bar Yaakov. Bishlam, l'amanda mishram de katre, b'ha kamifligi, the marasov, afal gav de lo katre mi gavoi, came the Katur Mibaroi, lo my sinon. What's the machlokus between the Tanakam and Rebbe Eliezer? Why does Rebbe Eliezer add this whole series of different types of wood which are not usable? So Rebbe Eliezer says that even though these types of wood don't have knots on the inside, they have knots on the outside, so therefore they're not ideal. Umar Sova came to lo Katur Mikavoi, afogav the Mibaroi, Katri, my sinon. And the Tanakama holds that no, you know, the only types of wood that are inadmissible are the types of wood that have knots inside of them, right? So these other types of wood that Rebbe Lezer lists off that have knots on the outside are not considered to be problematic. So we got to understand the machlokas. But according to Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov, it says that the issue as to why you can't use the olive wood and the wood from the wood from the vine is because we don't want to deplete these resources from Eretz Yisrael. Deko mileshe mishum yishuv the Eretz Yisrael. Right. So when Rabbi Eliezer mentions the palm tree, the deko, shouldn't you say that, you know, this issue of not depleting the palm trees from Eretz Yisrael would apply to it as well? In other words, you know, Rabbi Lezer excludes it presumably because, you know, we don't want to dates are an important commodity in Eretz Yisrael. We don't want to use up the date wood. Okay, so if we don't want to use up the, so what does the Tanakhama hold? Why does the Tanakhama not mention that we should avoid using the date wood? In other words, what's the machlokas based on? So Amar Lecha, so Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov would respond as follows: according to you, to Eina Lesba Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, everybody agrees that they made a point of using fig wood. Now figs were also a commodity in Eretz Yisrael; they're one of the Shivas Haminim, and you would think that we wouldn't want to deplete the availability of wood from fig trees. We don't want to start cutting down fig trees. And yet we do use fig wood. So how do you understand that? So we must be talking about a fig tree which doesn't actually produce figs. There is such a thing. So in other words, when they would use the wood from fig trees, it meant they used the wood from trees that were of the fig species but didn't actually produce fruits. So presumably also we're talking about a palm tree that also is not one that produces fruit, and that's why the Tanakhama didn't mention such, you know, avoiding using the palm tree. Ask the Gemara, Miko Teino de lo Avida Peira. Is there such a thing as a fig tree that doesn't produce figs? Yes, indeed there is. Kederachva de Amir Rachva, Maisi Teino Chivarta. Rachva said that they would bring white fig trees. The Shaifi Lahu Bechavla, they would rub them with a rope. The tzavsa made of a kind of a bark, the sarich alei bizra, and they would cause the seed of those trees to fall out, the kavri, and then they would bury the trees, hecho demasik yama sirton, where the sea gives off sediment. So in other words, this specially prepped wood, which was specially set up so that the seeds were removed for it, kara avda, when it would grow, it would produce wood, peri lo avda, it would not produce figs, even though it was originally fig trees, but these fig trees had been doctored, so to speak, so that they weren't actually producing fruits. Utlas briche minay lo machazkulu gamla, and three branches from these trees were so large that if you put them on top of a bridge would not be able to support these branches. So in other words, there is a method by which one can produce fig wood from fig trees that doesn't actually produce figs, and that's what those were the kinds of wood that they would use for the ma'aracha. Finally, cedar samaracha gedola, they would set up the large pyre, and they made a window, so to speak, within the arrangement of the pyre that faced east. My timer, why do they do that? Rav Huna v'Rav Chizda Chadam k'dei shetei haruach minasheves ba. One opinion says that this way the wind that blew in from the east would be able to blow through that window into the pyre, and it acted like a bellows in order to cause the fire to burn stronger. V'chad omer k'dei shiumatzisin esu alisa misham. And one said they lift open the window so that it would be easy to stick in twigs, to stick in wood into that window, and they would use it to light the chips in order to light the fire. Meisve, so we ask a question on that second opinion. The Mishnah had said, Revach haya bohen bein agazirin. There were, you know, when they set up the logs by the pyre, they left some space between the logs, shumatzisin, so aliso misham, and that way they were able to light the chips from between the logs. So the Mishnah says they lit the chips from between the logs, and you're telling me that the whole purpose of the window was to create a wherewithal to light the chips. Amar Lecha, so the second opinion holds, Mekomas Avdi, they made different places for being, there were multiple ways that they would light the chips. They left open space between the logs, they left open this chazis, they left open this window, and there were multiple ways in which they were able to light the chips. Okay, Hadron Alach Ra'u Echav, we were zocha to both begin and finish the second parak tonight. Be'ezus Hashem, we pick up tomorrow. Our plan is to learn the third parak, which again is a little bit less than a daf in duration. Be'ezus Hashem, we'll speak to everybody tomorrow night. Have a wonderful evening.